You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That's right. It's another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. I also write for bourbonstreetshots.com. You can check out my work there. We're going to have a lot gearing up for the season for you. I think Jason Comey's one of our writers, has got something coming up in the next day or so. And, you know, the season's ramping up. It's a great day in New Orleans, mainly because it's a Friday. The weekend's almost upon us. It's kind of starting today, so I know everyone's going to be excited for that. And also, the Pelicans wrapped up their preseason schedule last night, which means we only have regular season basketball to look forward to from now on. So no more looking at a team that's not necessarily trying to compete and win every night to test out some rotations to find out where these minutes should go to, who they should go to, and, you know, testing out a few different strategies. You're looking for at a team now that wants to win, play well, play at a high level, that's going to play their stars. This goes for every team in the league, so it's just a much better product out on the court in the NBA as a whole, as opposed to preseason. The Pelicans, like I said, did wrap up their preseason schedule last night with a loss, unfortunately, on the road in Orlando to the Magic. The game went to overtime. The Pelicans fell by 3, 111 to 114, though, frankly, that loss isn't as bad as it might seem. There were some good things to take away. There were also a few questions raised, which we're going to touch on today, and I'm going to dive into that in just a second. In the latter half of the podcast, though, I'm going to be talking about Terrence Jones, this small lineup. This is a guy that's been very intriguing to me this offseason, this preseason, on where he falls in the rotations. Should he be starting? I've gone back and forth on that quite a few times, and I think I've finally settled on how I feel about this front court on this roster and where these minutes should go, who should be playing. Do they actually need to trade for someone? So that's things we're all going to tackle today on Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And let's just dive right on into everything. So despite the overtime loss last night for the Pelicans, there were still some great things. The first and foremost is Anthony Davis started and played 37 minutes. I think that eases any concern that he won't be there on opening night for the Pelicans this coming Wednesday against the Denver Nuggets at home in the Smoothie King Center. 33 points for him, 13 rebounds. The bigger thing to me is he went to the line 11 times, 11 free throws attempted. That's excellent. The Pelicans are going to struggle to get to the line and have guys that can score reliably from there outside of Davis. So if Davis can get up to that line, you know, 8-plus times a game, I think most Pelicans fans and their coaching staff and their front office should be very happy with that. Big thing was he just didn't get injured again. You know, that ankle seemed to be quite strong. There was a bit concern in the overtime period where at one point he got subbed out and went straight to the locker room. But Alvin Gentry confirmed after the game it was just a precaution. He had played 37 minutes. He had played so many straight minutes that, frankly, it's a preseason game. There was no reason to keep him out there and risk any sort of injury. I don't think they were worried about anything being re-aggravated, you know, with his ankle and the injury he strained there. But the big thing was he didn't get hurt. He went out and he absolutely dominated, like I said. He had 5 turnovers. That's pretty high for him. He's not a big man that tends to turn the ball over a lot, so I don't think that's anything we really need to worry about, you know, going into the regular season. Just him starting was nice to see out there. Moving on to one of his front court teammates, Omer Asik, looked much better than he had from the night before when he was kind of matched up against Dwight Howard a lot. He looks healthy. You know, there was a lot of talk that he wasn't healthy last season. He had back issues. I think he had, you know, a strained quad at some point, which made it difficult for him to work. He was less, he's already not very mobile, and he was less mobile to begin with. He's moving much better this preseason. He's not a great player anymore. You know, let's not lie. I think Pelicans fans are very familiar with what to expect out of him. But he's moving better. You know, he's not strong going to the rim, but him just being healthy is going to be significant. He played 25 minutes last night. That's about exactly what you want out of him in the regular season. He looks like he's seeing the court a little bit better. He did have a really nice assist where he got the ball down low. There was nothing there for him, and he kicked the ball out, actually, to Anthony Davis on the corner, who then made a 3, which was a really nice play to see him recognize that, not try and just go up with the ball, get it blocked by the rim, you know, his biggest challenge there. You know, there was a joke in a G-chat I'm in with a few other writers where people are really hoping he's healthy because the NBA's best rivalry, Omer Asik versus the rim, is going to be alive and healthy, which really tells you all you need to know about Omer Asik. But it was nice to see him moving. He wasn't fouling too much. And this is a Magic team that has a pretty good front court in Serge Ibaka and Bismack Biyombo. And he managed to do it pretty well. He scored enough to be viable, to keep out there and not kill the offense entirely. Spacing with him out there when Anthony Davis is there with him too makes life a little bit harder for Davis. It murders him going to the rim at times because there's an extra defender there. But he'll be playable. He should probably be the starter on opening night. I'm going to talk about the small ball lineup in a little bit, and I've gone back and forth whether Oshik should be the starter or Terrence Jones. Oshik's other, competition for center, Alexi Ajinsa, looks like nigh unplayable right now. Again, fouls are an issue. He picked up 5 in 15 minutes of play. He rebounded okay, but again, 5 fouls in 15 minutes, you just can't, even if we wanted to play you or Gentry wanted to play you, you're not going to be able to stay on the court in that situation. And it's just very disappointing to see. The Pelicans spent a lot of money on him, $20 million over 4 years. Last season to bring him back, and he's just not living up to that contract. At the time, most people thought, hey, it'd be a good deal for a backup center, $5 million for a capable big man, an acceptable big man, even if they're a little bit below average, a little bit below replacement level, let's say, is still something. But right now, oh no, he looks pretty bad this offseason. He talked a big game at Media Day saying he would be the starter, but it looks like he's losing that competition right now to Omer Asik, and potentially in the future at some point you have to figure Terrence Jones may get a start in there. Tim Frazier is another guy I've talked a lot about on this podcast over the past few weeks, and the main reason being that he's going to be the starter for Jrue Holiday on opening night, and he had a bit of a mixed bag last night against the Magic. I think he was asked to do a little too much last night, just mainly being Anthony Davis was kind of shouldering the load. No one else other than Terrence Jones really helped out a ton on the offensive end. Buddy Hield and Etuan Moore, the two shooting guards, didn't fare particularly well. Moore only scored 7 points. Hield was held scoreless really until the fourth quarter, where he finally put in 11. But for the first three quarters, it kind of put more of a burden on Tim Frazier than I think this team really wants to do. He was only 4 of 11 from the field. He did make 1 3-pointer, which was really nice. Got to the line a few times, but didn't shoot particularly well there. He had 7 assists, which is what we've come to expect from him, but the 3 turnovers he had are kind of what's killer, and I think that's partially just because he was being asked to do too much. His greatest ability is going to come from passing. He sees the court well. He kind of knows where to get the ball to certain guys. As I've said, he's not a quality NBA starter, a spot starter here or there. You won't hate it. He should run the second unit pretty well, and we're just asking him to weather the storm until Holiday comes back. If he can cut those turnovers down, I really don't want it over, 2 turnovers a game, obviously for anyone, but especially the starting point guard. It's one of the reasons the Magic had more transition points than you'd like if you were a Pelicans fan. But Frazier was asked to be a little too much. If he's your 4th or 5th option on offense, you're much happier. Use him just to facilitate. Unfortunately, he just had to do too much last night, which led to kind of a poor game for him overall. Like I said, a mixed bag. Come opening night, he's going to need to be a whole lot sharper. You want to get those assists up. Pelicans didn't shoot well at times throughout the game. That's also one of the reasons his assist numbers are lower. Frankly, if they make a few more shots, those numbers, obviously are going to jump up. Can't get an assist even on a good pass if the player's not making the shot. So expect him to fare a little bit better. At least it's going to have a bit of an easier opening night playing against the Nuggets than he would be against someone like Elfrid Payton, who still can't play defensively. Offensively, Payton's not too great. But Frazier did okay enough in his game. And like we said, we're not looking for him to be a standout, though I think there's potential for him to play quite well for this Pelicans team. So the meat of what I kind of want to dive into today regarding everything centers around new Pelican Terrence Jones. He had a very good game last night. He took a lot of shots. He was 10 of 19. He scored 24 points, had 3 assists, 2 blocks. Stat line looks very, very good, but I'm not entirely sold, and I've gone back and forth on this guy a lot, as you've heard me talk about on this podcast. There are times when I'm really high on him, other times where I'm not, and part of it is we only have 6 games to really go off, less than that since he didn't play, but he's a guy that was a big signing for the Pelicans who could be someone, if he rebounds to his peak in Houston, could be an excellent addition. He'll only end up staying here 1 year. There's no way he'll command a lot of money, and I don't think he's a guy you want to pay significant money to after only 1 good year in a Pelicans uniform. So his stat line looks good, but I'm not entirely sold on this. the concept of whether he should be starting or not. Omer Asik, as I said before, looks a lot better. Ejinsa does not. I wouldn't play him at all. Robert Sacre is not really going to make the team. Cheick Diallo needs to be in the D League, where I think the Pelicans will end up sending him for a period of time just to kind of play a bunch, get his feet wet, make some rookie mistakes as he figures out the game. He's a very, very raw prospect. I know they like him and liked him enough to use a second round pick on him, but he's not ready for the NBA just yet and needs a little bit more, you know, time to get adjusted. And I think the D League will be perfect for him in that regard. But, you know, Jones, I thought might want to be starting because he gives the Pelicans the best chance to win, I think, overall, over the course of a game, let's say. Asik can do it in short spurts here and there, but I think Jones on offense with the three-point shooting, being able to space the court for Anthony Davis, is going to do a little bit more for the team than Asik would. Even with, you know, the defensive struggles that Jones has, Asik can make up for that overall, but if he's fouling a ton, he's going to hurt you potentially more than he's helping you on the defensive end. But one of the reasons I was thinking that is go back to last season when Jrue Holiday was coming off the bench for the Pelicans rather than starting. They were getting in holes early in basketball games where they weren't scoring enough, where they looked disjointed. And the offense only started to pick up and play more as a whole cohesive unit when he came into the game off the bench. But when you're doing that, when you're already down 10 points, you bury yourself early. And a lot of writers and people on Twitter were questioning why aren't they starting him? Why are they doing this? He played well. He had good stats once he came into the game and righted the ship. But the Pelicans probably needed that from the outset of the game to help them stay competitive and to stay in games more. That's one of the reasons why I was thinking maybe you want to start Jones there. Then last night happened, and I've kind of really changed my tune, and I don't like flip-flopping so quickly on it. But I'm going to tell you why, and it was that small ball lineup we saw of, say, Frazier, Moore, Hield, Solomon Hill, Terrence Jones, Anthony Davis. And in the fourth quarter, they got burned hard. It was a 13-2 run in favor of the Orlando Magic. The problem with that lineup and why a small lineup kind of has just been routinely killed if you're the Pelicans going back a few seasons, when Davis plays center, he plays center on offense. He's not playing center on defense. Ryan Anderson guarded centers on defense last year when they were paired in the front court together. When they ran that small lineup, it was Ryan Anderson taking on the Dwight Howards, the Karl Anthony Townses, and those type of players. And there's still big bruising centers out there in the league right now. You know, Biombo is going to be another one of them. You know, it's not entirely a small ball league that works for a select few teams. Not entirely. You know, the trend throughout the league is how they're all going. Last night, this happened again, that it allows teams to play inside out, get the ball down low. If that doesn't work, then kick it out to an open shooter. And you'd rather have teams just ripping off three-point shots that are contested or not wide open, as opposed to getting easy looks inside the basket if you're the Pelicans. So that's kind of the issue here. When they go small, the defense just really falls apart because they are really mismatched at that five position. Davis is still covering the power forwards, even though he's listed as center. That's his kind of better suited for him. If they're getting wrecked on that defensive end, adding Solomon Hill isn't going to help you. You know, adding Etuan Moore, Langston Galloway, these aren't guys that are going to help you if teams are playing inside out, and all of a sudden now it's not your perimeter defense that's the problem, but it's the interior defense that's the problem. So when the Pelicans are going small, that's the issue that's occurring. So you need to figure out, you know, a center that can at least guard, not a center, sorry, a power forward that can guard those centers. And I don't think Terrence Jones is the guy. Yes, he helps you a lot on offense, but this isn't what the Pelicans want right now. They need to focus on the defensive end. That's been their, you know, the MO this offseason, what they want to do. That's been the buzzwords, the versatility. And while Jones is versatile, he's not versatile enough to guard centers on the defensive end. That's where I think this team's going to get hurt, and why I think right now maybe they do need to keep going with Omer Asik at center for the time being. Sub Jones in, he should be the first big off the bench over Ejinsa, over Diallo, over anyone else that's on this roster right now. So the Pelicans really just need a more well-rounded big to pair with Anthony Davis. And it's kind of, he creates a bit of a problem for this team because who does he pair the most with? And Mason Ginsberg, one of the writers for Bourbon Street Shots, one of my good friends, and I have always said, Al Horford, or kind of a stretch big man who can also defend, is ideal for him. Horford, who can play power forward center, is big enough and strong enough to guard centers on the defensive end while still giving you a lot of what like Terrence Jones offers on the offensive end, is the ideal big to kind of pair with him. The problem problem is those guys don't grow on trees. They're commanding very, very high salaries. You know, Horford signed for a huge money deal with the Celtics this offseason. These guys aren't easy to get, and the Pelicans don't have enough trade assets to acquire one of those guys. And, you know, it's been rumored the Pelicans are maybe looking to add another guard. Tyus Jones from the Timberwolves is the one I saw they were linked with the other day. But right now, I truly think, you know, weather the storm with Tim Frazier, with Buddy Hield, with Langston Galloway, till Holiday comes back, till Evans come back. You've got some guards that can play then. But right now, there's no one that's coming in as the reinforcement for this front court. And they need someone else. They need a more versatile big to play defense and pair with Anthony Davis. They thought Oshik originally was going to be the center to pair with Davis, run kind of that twin tower effect. But we've seen, you know, that isn't true. It's not Omer Oshik. He's not the answer. Ajinsa can't stay on the court. He's not going to be on the answer if he's picking up five fouls in 15 minutes, if he's not able to do anything. They need a big who can play defense and grab defensive boards. That's the key here. Defensive rebounders on this team aren't great. You have Anthony Davis, you have Omer Oshik, you have kind of Ajinsa. Solomon Hill isn't a tremendous defensive rebounder. Neither is Terrence Jones. That's the biggest knock on him. There's no reason to expect him to change. Dante Cunningham isn't as well. There's, you know, so when they go small and they don't have one of those centers that can grab defensive boards, they're giving up a lot of second chance points to other teams. And this has been one of the issues for him this preseason, is teams are grabbing a lot of offensive boards, getting a lot of second chances to reset the shot clock or get an easy putback, something along those lines. And it's not what you want right now. Orlando last night had 17 second chance points, and that's because this team isn't grabbing defensive rebounds, in a situation where they need to. It's going to be a problem for the Pelicans going forward. We said, you know, and I said this 2 weeks ago on the podcast, who's going to get to the line and who's going to grab rebounds reliably outside of Anthony Davis? There's not a ton of those guys here, unfortunately, so it could be a problem for them, especially against good rebounding teams that like to go off after offensive boards, which has kind of been eschewed by the league as a whole. But teams like the Pistons, who have a dominant big man center, those are teams that are going to tear this Pelicans team apart and burn them down the stretch. You know, there's going to be teams they're more talented than, and they're going to have more talent on the court, but because they can't defensive rebound successfully against those teams are going to upset the Pelicans, grab a win that the Pelicans should have had. And if they're making a push for the eighth seed or in contention for it, you can't afford to lose those games. So while they're looking for a guard to add and maybe add some more playmaking, it doesn't really seem like Lance Stephenson is going to be the answer. Though they might keep him, they need to look for another big for the front court. And the problem is, I just don't know where they're going to find one and if they have the trade assets to go out and acquire one. These are guys that are coveted throughout the league, and the Pelicans are going to probably be in for a rough season if they can't get someone who can kind of plug this hole that's really starting to be glaringly obvious to me, and I think a lot of Pelicans fans as a whole. So that's really going to wrap up the podcast today for Locked On Pelicans. Thanks for listening this week. Next week, I'll do a little bit more of season preview type things. We don't really have any preseason games left to wrap up, to talk about. We maybe should talk about some trade candidates, guys. They should be maybe looking at positions of need, things like that. Don't forget to subscribe to us, whether it's on Audio Boom, where it's hosted, iTunes, any of your podcast apps. Make sure you're getting this daily. Next week's going to be a little disjointed at times. We're going to have a lot to talk about. I'll be out of town at one point, but I'm going to make sure we get five podcasts up next week for you all, especially with the season opener on Wednesday and a big game against the Warriors that Friday in the Smoothie King Center. Kevin Durant's first road game. That's going to be really exciting. Unfortunately, I'm going to be out of town and have to miss it thanks to one of my friends and his bachelor parties, but it's going to be a great game. You want to make sure you're there paying attention, and we'll have all the news and information you need coming to you with Locked On Pelicans. So again, thank you for listening. I'm Jake Madison at Nola Jake on Twitter. You can see my writing on bourbonstreetshots.com, and I'll see you guys next week. Enjoy your weekend.